Hey guys, welcome to episode number 18 of the Easy Point podcast. Today, Jason and Zach will be discussing the concept of buying and spending for others and how it can help you get the points and miles that you deserve. Thanks for listening and hope you enjoy.
Jason, how are we doing today?
Doing very well, Zach. How have you been?
I've been good. I've been, eagerly anticipating this buying for others conversation. I've been a part of it a little bit through you, but I'm sure there's a lot about it I don't know, and I'm sure there's a lot you probably can't discuss, but I'm looking forward to learning what I don't know about this kind of shadow industry.
There's no secrets. I mean, the basic concept is you have cards that you sign up for, and you need to meet this minimum threshold. So let's say you sign up for 5 cards, and they all require you to spend $5,000 within 3 months. So here you are, and you have 2.5 months to go, and you need to spend $25,000. And your average, and you spend on yourself every month $2,000 or $3,000 on your expenses that you're able to put on a credit card. So you're left with $10,000 or $15,000 that you need to spend. So there is always the manufactured spending, which I'll talk about that first, and then we could also talk about spending for others. So manufactured spending is posted all over the web. Every single blogger that wants you to sign up for cards and has referral links, starting with 1 mile at a time, or any blogger is going to post their ideas and their tricks for manufactured spend. The most common ones are buying, let's say, Visa gift cards and somehow cashing them out through doing money orders or whatnot, or buying Visa gift cards and cashing them out through all sorts of, like, there used to be something. I think most of them are dead, but there's something called Serve and there's something called Bluebird. These things are, for me, they're part of history. They probably still exist to some extent. But
yeah, they exist in very, very specific markets, but are basically all but dead. But, I think we could probably dedicate a whole episode to manufactured spend. And I know I've done a lot of kind of creative things around that. I had a routine in college where when I was practicing, I would, practice until I got tired or lost my focus. And then I'd walk to the nearby CVS, maybe 10, 12 minute walk away. And then on right near the, the building with the practice rooms was a post office on the way back. Then would use those Visa debit cards I got to buy the money orders. And then when I got back to the practice room, I'd, pull up my app and deposit the money orders to the bank account that the credit card pulled from. And I think, most people that manufacture spend do some version of that. Pretty easy, nothing glamorous. When you break it down, even if you're using it to hit a minimum spend, your hourly rate is pretty low. So it's something that most people don't do that seriously. I know there's some people that are kind of obsessed and find ways, to profitably manufacture spend. Maybe they make, 50, 60 an hour, but then you have, you're floating thousands of dollars, and it's a good tool, but if you can buy for others, it seems a bit more lucrative. And I'm excited to learn more about that.
So here's the idea. There's let's say a group spending for others, and there's personal spending for others. So personal spending for others goes like this. It's really simple. You know a guy that's in business and needs liquid and needs capital, right? So he let's say sells on Amazon. Let's just take an example. He sells on Amazon, and he has on his personal cards and business cards collectively $100,000 worth of credit, plus he has a line of credit or he has money, he has another $100,000. So he has $200,000 at his disposal to put into merchandise and then try to quickly sell the merchandise and buy more merchandise and keep it rolling. Now, if he would have access to another $10,000, $20,000, $50,000, $100,000, that would be beneficial for him. And he does not need to borrow it for a long period of time because he's just buying goods that are going to sell pretty quickly, and he'll turn over and get the money from those goods. So it's in that guy's best interest to have someone that would trust him, and they would both trust each other, and that business that would spend on Amazon would either have the let's call him Jack. So Jack needs to spend $25,000 on his card. So Jack knows his friend John, and John has the Amazon business. So they would work it out. Either Jack would spend the money directly, he would go purchase whatever items, or he would give his card info to his pal John to spend it for him, and he would get paid back. So that's not rocket science. That's just simple.
So you've done that for businesses.
Yes.
Do you sign a promissory note, or do you, is it just kind of, you know,
trust, trust. Pure, like, yeah, no, there's nothing written. I've never done over $70,000 at a time.
Uh-huh.
It got to that point because I was doing this for many years with this company, and they were very professional about it and very trusted, and many, many others gave them money to spend. And it was in different forms, but that's like on an individual level. Mm-hmm. It came in different forms. In other words, here, let's say someone sells to this company. Let's say they were into phones. They bought phones, and they sold it. Whatever, however they dealt with, they have contracts and they sell overseas. Whatever they do, so they needed the iPhones right when the iPhone got released. They needed a bunch of iPhones. Now the limit. Now it's sort of the gray area, I guess, because Apple only allows X amount of phones per address. Let's say 10 iPhones. They would round up people by word of mouth and friends referring friends to spend for them and buy the iPhones. So that's A, you're getting all those points for that. And B, they would pay, let's say, commission on top of every iPhone you got. They would pay X amount of commission. Every time was different. So in that case, I felt a little more comfortable because I'm not just giving someone my card to spend and I don't see the items. I don't see what he's spending it on. Here, I place the order myself of the iPhones, and I sort of can track it and see what's going on. I have a tiny bit more of grip on what's going on here. Then there's a new idea, which you sort of have to have, you build up trust. Let's say the same guy that sells on Amazon, John, could not just do it with a few people he knows, but could have someone he knows and trusts refer other people that, and those people know whoever they're referring and trust to do a bunch of spend for them. So there's like these groups out there that have, they post deals. It's the same idea with the iPhone. There's a limit of five pieces or five of this phone or laptop, whatever they're selling on Amazon or eBay or however they're doing it. And they need as many as they can get. And they'll, so A, you're getting all the points, and B, sometimes you're getting a commission. And that is what we call a buying group. It only works if you have a network of people, or you can somehow create a network of people that you build up a name and a trust for that.
Yeah, and that's you got me in one of those groups, and I did it pretty seriously for a few weeks, and then kind of got to a point / realized it wasn't necessarily worth my time and effort. But I was lucky enough to be in one of those groups during Black Friday, so it was pretty lucrative because then you don't actually in addition to the spend, you can get kind of commissions from these groups. So if during Black Friday you can order something that's maybe $200 off, 66% off, well, now because whoever is going to get the item is going to make a decent clip on it, they want to incentivize you, and they'll give you $3, $5, $10 per item on top of the shopping portal and the points that you'll get. So you could, during Black Friday with the high value items, get between 10 and 12% back on what you're purchasing pretty easily.
Right, that's right. The portals, you mentioned the portals, that's very nice as well. Sometimes
yeah,
it's still different, but you can shop through a portal and make anywhere between 1 to 10% on your purchases, which is very good. certainly if it goes over 2%, it's more money than you're making off, or at least more value than you have from the points themselves.
Yeah. No, I mean, some portals, especially when you're talking about like major retail outlets, like, you know, Best Buy, Macy's, I'm really just remembering this from the, you know, Black Friday buying that I was doing. I had one as high as 20% for Macy's, which is crazy.
Wow.
Yeah.
And then there's always exclusions, you know?
Exactly. This. Yeah. So most of the time, the ones with a really good, you know, 10, 20% back, it's for like a very specific category within it. But for Macy's, I was able to, I think I was buying these like really expensive watches, and it was, I got 20% back on like, I think I ended up doing like 8,000, you know, and that in addition to whatever card I used. So add another, whatever, 1.8% to that. So not bad. And the buying group that I used through you paid, you know, relatively quickly, at least in time for a credit card statement and then some. So I think it's a really nice option for kind of like a college student, because especially now when manufactured spending is a lot harder and, you know, maybe you have a lot of time, you're hanging out with friends, everyone's on a laptop, you know, it doesn't take that much to do this type of work. And if you want to get all these cards, you're ambitious on these sign-up bonuses, but, you know, your expenses on a credit card are maybe, you know, under $1,000 a month, and you don't have an easy way to manufacture spend in person, it could be really worth looking into. And making $30-$40 an hour from being on a buying group or even more, I think is a pretty attractive proposition if it's, you know, that or work for near minimum wage at your local institution.
Right, no question. It's more than the $30-$40 an hour. It's really it's enabling you to meet the minimum spend and get the sign up bonus. That's the goal. I don't know that it's worth it many times to do pure spending for not to meet any threshold.
There's definitely people that can make it worth it. You know, most people that manufacture spend are in these buying groups, they're probably making closer to 10-20 an hour. But I've met people and, you know, read on forums of people that are consistently making 30-40 from the right type of kind of either combining manufactured spend with a buying group or just a really lucrative portal situation with a buying group. And then there's also another thing where you could, you know, instead of outsourcing the business side of thing, then you could just become a reseller where most of your margins don't come from the product but come from the points. So that's also another option where you basically just buy things cheaply when they're on sale using credit cards and using portals, and you could sell them for maybe a little bit more. And then after all your operating expenses, maybe you come close to breaking even on the merchandise, but then, you know, you're making 6-8% on the points.
That's right. Yeah. I know someone that does just that he sells on Amazon, and where does he get his goods? He buys it from stores when they have sales or deals or portals and all that stuff.
Yeah. And do you know, do most of his margins come from the reselling itself or from the points?
Everything is different, but some things it's mainly from the points.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes it's mainly not from the points, but there are scenarios where there's like a promotion and this portal is offering, you know, 5, 10, 15%. And then you get rewards because let's say Best Buy, you have like Best Buy rewards as well. So you have the portal and you have the Best Buy rewards, and then you have your credit card points, and then it all adds up. It's really good.
Yeah. So let's go back to buying for others though, real quick. So you said before, it's, you know, you have to be able to do it with trust. You have to be able to do it with a network. And are you aware of opportunities for this kind of outside the Hasidic community?
I am not aware since I belong to that community. So I've never explored outside, but there is on the buying. See, it's not, they're centralized around trust and communities that trust each other. And then once they exist, so if someone out from, let's say, quote unquote, outside wants to get in, as long as he has a referral of people that trust him, he can join. In other words, it's based off the foundation of it is people that are in one community and trust each other. But I don't see why it cannot be employed, executed elsewhere.
No, of course. I just wonder if practically it is at the present moment.
I'd be surprised if it is.
Yeah, I guess having access to these communities in college would have been way more helpful, because now, you know, through you primarily, I've been able to, you know, meet a lot of these groups, meet a lot of these other people, have, you know, some buying for others opportunities, even if I haven't really acted on them. But when I was in college, I would have eaten this up. I would have, you know, done as much buying for others as I possibly could. Yeah.
You have to be careful. It's hard. And I know you mentioned ambitious and all that good stuff, but the younger someone is, the less judgment they have. Mm-hmm. And I think I'm not involved in this now. I didn't get out of it because I thought it's a bad idea. I just, I don't have time for it. And I don't think it's worthwhile for me, but there's variations of this, and some of this is risky. And there are stories where people didn't get paid back, or merchandise gets stolen, or there's whatever, a misconnect down somewhere.
Yeah.
The way there's as many steps of this process, and
if you're a college student and you can't float anything, well, then it becomes very stressful,
right? So,
and I've had that before too. You know, I'm manufactured spending, you know, $2,000-$4,000, but I only have $1,000 in my bank account, so there's not that much room for error.
It's not I wouldn't recommend it, definitely, as a long term thing. And short-term thing, if you need to meet a threshold and you trust and you see what's going on here, then I'd say it's fine. But other more than that, I don't like this idea. And the banks don't really like it either.
Is this explicitly legal? I know this is just, you know, a nightmare for any accountants listening to this.
There's nothing illegal, but there's no legalities here. No, there's nothing illegal about it.
That's what I mean, if there was a promissory note, I would think it would be legal. I'm just wondering if it's because it's on trust, how that works. Maybe that's just a question for one's accountant in terms of, like, how does that business, what do they write kind of on their statements, or I don't know.
Oh, right. Okay. So that I'm not
for
sure.
Them. Yeah. Not for the buyer. The buyer is pretty straightforward.
It is, though, that the banks don't like it. So
yeah.
Banks don't like it. The Chase, Amex, they don't like this pattern of spending. And if they see where the payments, if you're getting paid directly from that buyer, if he's paying your credit card bill directly, then they can link it up. He's paying 10 or 20, 30 other people, and they don't like it. And they will, and they can shut down accounts for that reason.
Yeah. And when you've done the spending for some of the businesses, do they pay you on top of, you know, the points you get, or is it just you're doing the spending and they reimburse you?
Some and some. It was always stipulated beforehand. Sometimes I was getting a commission when it was iPhones or other electronics phones. I was sometimes getting a small commission, and sometimes it was just straight points.
Cool. Yeah, fascinating stuff. It sounds like something to look into if you're ambitious and really want to meet some minimum spends and don't have, you know, a ton of personal expenses or your own business, but definitely not for the faint of heart. Probably, you know, on a similar part of serious manufactured spending, it can be worth it if you know what you're doing and you're very meticulous, but if not, it could become a pretty stressful nightmare quickly. I've been lucky. Right. I never had anything crazy myself, but you know, we both heard a lot of horror stories.
Right. All right. The best thing is if you can somehow figure out how to spend it through natural spending, which is tough. It's really tough. It's a tough call because you want to get the bonuses and you want to spend the money. You don't have where to spend it. Mm-hmm. No reason to just buy things you don't need. And you fall prey to the marketing of the credit cards. The marketing of the credit cards is that you're going to spend $5,000. They want you to spend a real spend. They want you to get in the habit of using the card for real things, and they trust that you're going to continue using it after those 3 months are up.
Oh, yeah. Yep. No, I mean, I think, you know, for anyone in this game that has done a lot of manufactured spending and, you know, you think of yourself as, you know, I'm not going to fall prey to that, regardless of how much you try, I would be shocked if you're constantly getting new credit cards, meeting minimum spends, and not spending more than you otherwise would. It's just impossible not to a little bit. And I think right. It's just, you know, it's more to be conscious of that and understand that's kind of like a cost of doing business, you know?
That's right.
You know, and I think there's a lot of people that if they're not doing it kind of hardcore and they let that get out of control, well, then the cost of doing business exceed the profit or the benefit of the business. Everyone has like a classic variation on this, but you know, my cousin has a story where, you know, went to some like store where they were selling these like really awesome, he really liked these like yellow like vests, some yellow vest. Who has a yellow vest? And it was like 80% off and it was like really slick. And you know, he got one and he came home and he's like, "Hey mom, I got this for 80% off." And she's like, "You know, you overpaid by 20%.
Right.
Yeah. So, you know, you're no stranger to that. There's a lot of variations on that, but yeah.
No question about that. All right. Well, we covered spending for others on your credit card. This is an opportunity, but you have to watch out and you have to be disciplined and you have to, there's an element of trust and there's an element of using your brain. And it could be, you know, there's different ways you can do it. Some are more safe, some are more risky, but regardless, you need to see if that makes sense for you.
Well, well said. We'll end it with that, Jason. Thank you for your time. Have a great rest of your day.
This podcast is made possible by EasyPoint, a new service that helps both small businesses and consumers formulate a personalized miles and points strategy. If you're interested in maximizing your earnings or have any questions at all, please check out our website at easypoint.me. Thanks and have a great week.